From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 13th day of October 2020. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Don Day will be here to discuss the agricultural weather forecast. Gary Schnitke will join us to talk about the changing acreage mix in the state of Illinois and what the futures markets might be telling producers right now about next year. And we'll talk with Stephen Platt, too, at Archer Financial Services about the agricultural energies on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today up 2.25 cents. It finished at 391.25. The March at 399.25, up 2.5. And July corn, 405.5, a penny and 3/4 higher for the day. Next year's December up 2.25 at 395. November beans, $10.44, 10.25 higher. January at 10.25 higher, finished at 1047. And next year's November at 975.75, up 7.75. Bean oil, 58 cents higher. Bean meal up $1.80. Wheat futures down 2 cents for the day, and the live cattle futures were up about 40 cents. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Thanks for being with us, Wayne. Can you tell me a little bit about the volatility we've seen? Yesterday we had big losses, and today we gained some of those losses back.
Well, Todd, you know, we talked about a little bit about Monday yesterday. Of course, there was no government offices. There was no announcements from China. And there was just sort of a little feel that we'd run up against resistance with the big run-up we saw on Friday and then coming into the day. So we did take some profits yesterday. We did see some people that backed out and did that. But when the day was done, the open interest was up, so it meant there were people that bought after it sold off there, and total positions at the end of the day were larger again. So that's what started the idea of turning around on Tuesday here, was the rebuying of some liquidation.
I was going to ask you if yesterday portended anything potentially bad for the marketplace, but it sounds like actually it was a measure of the strength of the marketplace because there was buying at the end of the day.
Yeah, also I think as long as we look at it, that we are nearing, you know, that the big mark bean harvest, 60-65% probably will be reported in the report tonight as of Sunday, and we're going to have awfully good clear weather to keep going like that. And, you know, we're going to see soybean sales by the farmers slow down as he gets into, you know, finishing up this harvest. And that's one of the things we are continuing to hear rumors that China booked another 3 to 4 boats of U.S. beans, 2 of them off the Gulf and 2 off Pacific Northwest for January shipment. So that hasn't been reported yet, but there was rumor of that today. And that's what we need, is some more Chinese purchases to help buoy this market a little bit. And the weather forecast got a little bit drier, too. I mean, it's we're seeing, you know, South America's the slowest planting rate in 10 years. They're not as far behind as you think. And boy, there's pictures from down there, you know, with the 6 to 8 planters out in the field ready to go if they can get going. So, but anytime, if we can go another 10 days here without getting many beans planted, it's going to slow down the amount of safrinha corn being able to be planted in South America, and that would be good for our corn crop. But they are going to get some rains down there, Todd.
Yeah, so fill the gap. That's the point for soybeans. Does that mean producers who are thinking, hey, this is a bullish thing, I probably ought to not sell across the scale, that maybe really they ought to? I want to know about that. And on the flip side, go ahead and store corn?
Well, as for right now, I mean, the fact of the matter is we're seeing a harvest rally. That's, you know, backwards to most. And generally, well, if we see a harvest rally, well, then even the next year's crop figures, the highs could be made in January. So it's one of the things that I think you still want to be looking to sell any good rallies here again in the beans as we get up over that 1050 mark and above. Well, I think that basis for November, I think that it's going to be very good rather than paying storage to get rid of the beans when China's in there buying. Because remember, once they can switch over to Brazil, our big market goes away as far as the beans. As far as the corn, you know, I think in this 390 to 410 bracket, anywhere in here is not going to be a bad place. Now, if you can look down the road and make some money by contracting or hedging some for down the road and pay storage and you have your own bin at home, then it's going to be worth considering storing some corn.
Hey, thanks so much, Wayne.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You know, acreage and the crop mix does change over time, even in the state of Illinois, where three primary crops are grown, corn, soybeans, and wheat, and mostly just corn and soybeans. Gary Schnitke's been thinking about that some, and he's written an article for the Farm Doc Daily website. Gary, of course, an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I took a look at the article and asked him just a little bit about how acreage has changed over time in the past and what he might see in 2021. We started with the past.
Yeah, so if you look at corn, soybean, and wheat acres, and by the way, those usually account for about 97% of the acres planted in Illinois, the total of those have varied between 22 and 22.7 million acres, not much at all. So any shifts in acre, as you would expect in Illinois, are between corn and soybeans, and to a lesser extent, wheat. And in the past several years, we've seen a narrowing, and since 2012, actually, a narrowing of corn and soybean acres to the point where they were almost equal each other in 2018, and now they've widened a bit, and corn has more acres than soybeans in 2020.
What do you expect for 2021?
So if you're looking at 2021, I guess you would expect that corn acres to decline and soybean acres to increase, given what we're currently looking at for prices. Favors soybeans over corn, so you would expect sort of a shift back more to, if anything, equal acreage in 2021.
Does that vary at all by area of the state?
Absolutely. So if you go from northern to southern Illinois, you will see more corn acres in northern Illinois than in southern Illinois. And just to give you a feel, in 2019, the northern areas of the state had 60% of their acres in corn. The northern central part had 52%, southern central part 48%, and southern Illinois 33%. So there's a much more pronounced acreage of corn in northern Illinois, and also we have more wheat, obviously, in southern Illinois. The southernmost crop reporting districts in Illinois have 12% of their acres in wheat, and the northern and central part have 1%. So just gives you a feel for the difference in acreage across this state of Illinois.
Is the reason you're suggesting there'll be more soybean acres the current futures prices in Chicago, or the soy-corn ratio, which favors soybeans at this time?
Yeah, if you look at any prices now, we've seen rises in both corn and soybean prices, but much more so in soybean prices than corn. Currently, we're looking at over $10 cash prices for soybeans and $3.40, $3.50, maybe $3.60 for corn. $10 soybean price, if you wanted to keep corn in there, you would have to be looking closer to $4. So current prices, and I would suspect that next year as well, we would be looking at more soybean acres, more soybeans being more profitable than corn. And a large reason for that is because of driving and COVID. Ethanol demand is down because we're driving less, and that's going to have a negative or less of an impact on corn prices than soybeans.
Have farmers in Illinois historically been very willing to switch acres out of their regular rotation?
So we see shifts over time, and they're generally very slow shifts. And just to give you an example, in 1998, there were an equal number of acres of corn and soybeans in the state. And from 1998 to 2006, we increased corn acres and decreased soybean acres. And it was a relatively slow shift. But corn was more profitable than soybeans during that period, largely because we were building ethanol demand. In 2013, we began seeing corn acres decline and soybean acres increase. And again, that was primarily because soybeans became more profitable in 2013 than corn. So when we see these shifts in profitability, farmers do react. it's not a wholesale reaction, but they switch marginal or, you know, some of their acres that to the more profitable crop. And we've been seeing that in the past several years. An interesting question will be, will we ever see more soybean acres than corn acres in Illinois? We haven't seen that, oh, since 1982 with the pick year. We saw more soybean acres than corn, but that was the last time. And that was because of policy, not because of fundamental economics.
Do the southern districts of the state play a greater role in that data? Because it appears they tend to plant more soybean acres.
So let's just go to the south. The extreme southern part of the state plant 33% of their acres in corn, 55% in soybeans, so much more on soybeans, and 12% in wheat. If you look at across time, though, though each area decreases those acres proportionally. So next year, we're likely to see southern Illinois go from 55% soybeans to maybe 58% soybeans, right? An increase. But you'll see the same thing in northern Illinois. They're just starting out at different places. Same thing with central Illinois. We'll see more soybeans and less corn. And the shifts are about the same across Illinois. It's just the starting points are different.
Is that typical of the Midwest? I was thinking, because I know southern Illinois plants more soybeans, but I also thought that it might move more quickly to another crop.
No, we don't see that. They're proportional changes, and roughly that's the same outside of Illinois as well. And if you think about it, farmers do look at those signals, but they also have this rotation, right? In the center part of the state, corn and soybeans work pretty well. If we're going to grow more soybeans, we got to go soybeans after soybeans, which is a big deal, right? And they'll do it on some acres, but not all of them. So we see slow shifts.
That should do. Hey, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnitke is an agricultural economist, part of the FarmDoc team here at the University of Illinois. You can read more from him on the FarmDoc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Don Day is here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. It's a gorgeous fall day here. How about in your part of the world?
Yeah, you know, not bad. It definitely has cooled off a little bit and acting a little bit more like October. A lot of the central and western, especially the western areas of the United States, a very, very warm start to the month. But now we're seeing temperatures starting to even out.
When are the average frost dates in your part of the world and then maybe into the northern plains, part of the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, too?
Well, a lot of times that's right around late September, early October. Some areas with that big cold front that hit the western states in early September had already seen their growing season come to an end very early, despite the fact that there was a big warm-up after that. But we're right around that early part of October where those season-ending freezes usually take place in the northern plains states. Now, the further south and east you go from there, you get a little bit later into the month.
Right here, I made note that I had a 38-degree low, I think, overnight. It might have been a bit lower than that, but at least that low. So pretty cool temperatures. What can we expect for those producers that are in the field across the whole of the Corn Belt this week? It seems like there's maybe a little bit more moisture in the air, so they'll have to start later if they're in soybeans, just because they're kind of tough when it's wetter and there's dew out in the morning. But things should dry out in the afternoon, too. Can you give me kind of conditions this week and next?
Well, as we go into the rest of this week, we will see some colder air coming on in. Now, there's going to be a pretty good cold front coming through the Dakotas as we get into tonight and tomorrow morning. This frontal system is going to be pushing into the rest of the Corn Belt during the day Thursday and into Friday. Now, initially, there will be some precipitation along the front, and you know, it's not going to be heavy. It's mainly going to be light. I think the heavier moisture will be more across the Dakotas, Minnesota, parts of Wisconsin, then into the Ohio Valley, southern Indiana, Ohio, southern Illinois will be looking at getting some precipitation out of this. But what you're really going to notice, are those temperatures. We are going to be looking at temperatures maybe going down to those freezing levels in some areas, especially the northern northwestern Corn Belt, maybe as early as Sunday morning.
What about when we get into next week? What do things look like?
Well, we're going to see the colder temperatures kind of hold. This is going to be especially true during the first half of the week. We're expecting temperatures at least Monday and the Tuesday to be at or below normal, then warming up to closer to average conditions during the second half of the week. So this cold shot coming here Thursday, Friday has some staying power, probably into Tuesday. After that, we'll see temperatures begin to warm up again.
Any indication of what the last full week of October might look like?
Well, that is a good question, and I will be a politician here. I'm going to dodge that because I have sets of solutions that are diametrically opposed. I've got some solutions that bring a lot of cold and a lot of wet that last week of October up to Halloween into the upper Midwest, the northern plain states, including the Corn Belt. Then I've got solutions that keep all of that cold air locked up in the western United States, and the opposite could happen. This is typical, especially in the middle of October, as we start to get deeper into the seasonal change. You know, our long-range forecast, you really got to take with more of a grain of salt than you usually do.
Hey, thanks so much, Don. We appreciate it. We'll check with you again next week.
You're welcome.
That's Don Days with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Stephen Platt is now here from Archer Financial Services. Steve takes a look at agricultural energies for us once a month and the broader energies as well. Good afternoon to you, Steve. Thanks for being with us. What's on your mind for this week?
Well, certainly we've seen this energy complex confined to a relatively tight range between 37 to around 41.70 on the crude oil. As the market really grapples with the divergent economic trends posed by the pandemic, from optimism that we are recovering economically to despair that rising cases will continue to undermine the economic activity has really buffeted the market, Todd, from one day to the next. The OPEC monthly report did come out. It was released today, continues to highlight the appearance that the level of uncertainty does continue to exist. Global demand in 2020 is expected to fall by about 9.5 million barrels, or about 10% in terms of what we were looking at prior to this year and now. For 2021, it's expected to rise to 6.5 million barrels from around 90.3 this year in 2020. OPEC does not expect the economic recovery that we saw evident in the third quarter to continue into the fourth and into 2021 amid the rise in infections that we've seen and in cases of COVID-19. Product markets have also generally lagged behind crude in that margins have been quite poor in terms of refiners. They've begun to show some stability, though, as refinery operations continue to be maintained at low levels. And that has continued to restrain the production of gasoline and diesel. In products, some further recovery might be in prospect, particularly in diesel. We've seen the diesel actually gain on the crude recently. Some of that is a reflection of some of the crude slates in terms of the type of crude being moved through the refineries, shading away from the production of diesel to more gasoline, where some of the demand has been. And also the fact that some of the jet caro, which has gone down considerably in terms of demand, has shifted as well in terms of the production levels. So as we look ahead to 2021, a lot of uncertainty remains. There's a lot of fears of bankruptcies and structural changes, such as people continuing to work from home, not going to a movie theater or flying, and other activities remain quite questionable, even with the potential possibly for a vaccine coming into being next year. But it probably will not be available to many people globally, so the demand side is still quite questionable. This should keep some of the mobility data down. That's continuing to show transit remaining off 29% in terms of the U.S., workplaces in terms of people going to workplaces is down 31%. And actually, retail activity is still off as much as 16% in terms of that mobility data, which is a good indicator of where we're at in terms of the demand side for petroleum products. Tomorrow, we'll be getting the additional supply-demand information along with the OPEC today. That will be coming out of the International Energy Agency. With the election on tap, the uncertainties certainly even mount further with respect to the potential for renewables coming into play next year. So we have a lot out there for OPEC to contend with. They still have some big decisions to make, which is going to be contingent on the demand side, which is still a real uncertain unknown as we move into 2021.
Very quickly, it sounds to me as if demand will continue to be down sharply and that OPEC hasn't managed to correct supply at this point. So from the perspective of the consumer, prices should remain low?
Well, yes. I would suspect that we'll continue to hold to this range. The one factor certainly is demand. They're expecting demand to actually come back in 2021. How quickly, I think, is the big question mark. And it's going to be a real test for OPEC to moderate their production to such a degree, given the kind of budgets and budget deficits they're currently confronting even now.
Hey, Steve, thank you so much. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you again next month.
Look forward to it.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services, joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.